Giddy up. Game day. Real Kipper and Bourne show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake Schultz. We're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. The Toronto Maple Leafs going to Raleigh. Take on the Carolina Hurricanes. See if we can extend that winning streak, JB, to six games.
Seems unlikely at the start of the season that they were going to be threatening for the conference lead here halfway through, didn't it? But boy, good start. Feeling good about things right now.
Yeah. I probably was a little wrong on feeling like it would take them maybe 41 games to be accustomed to this new straight line, at times maybe boring system for many from the Craig Berube and the Toronto Maple Leafs. But, and we have seen some small snippets of adjustments.
They lost that three in a row and it was ugly.
Was it ugly for three games?
For a minute.
Anything's ugly for three games here.
Is that Columbus, then to the Blues? Maybe on home ice and then somebody.
You have a weird hockey memory. I'm learning this more about you recently.
Yeah, I remember the things I care about. I don't remember my email password or anything like that, but I remember the things I care about.
But not enough to derail a legitimate shot at not only winning the Atlantic Division, but possibly a President's Trophy.
That's the new goal. I will say, too, if you remember earlier in the season, there was long stretches due to injury where you had Grabenkin, Steves, Nylander, Holmberg.
Yeah.
You know, you had a really thin lineup for a while. So fully healthy here. I know a lot of the underlying numbers, some of the analytical people are not as in love with the Leafs, but they haven't really had their team until the last couple games. So here's to hoping.
Well, McCabe's out. That's a significant
right,
one.
Right.
So, but not a multiple scenario here, which is helpful in itself.
But if you were to rank the guys that they would be most hurt by not having, McCabe's up there pretty high.
Yeah, he's...
Matthews Marner.
Really gone to another level in terms of the dependency of him and his game. And it's not on the score sheet, but it's a lot of the other stuff on and off the ice. I've really been impressed with his development as a significant face and leader of the team.
Before we go any further, I just want to do some housekeeping here.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Produce.
Before we go any further, producing. This is something that Kipper's been pushing for multiple years. He's always wanted to do this. Much like Blair and Barker with the back leg line, we have created the Leafs line. Okay?
Yeah.
So if you will call in a number here, and that if you're listening, if you have a pen and paper or whatever you're driving, just get the podcast after. Don't text this while you're driving or anything. But the number is 416-413-4141. If you call that number, you'll hear my horrible voice telling you to leave a message. And you can leave a message on the Leaf line. And if it's any good, if it's, you know, a compelling take,
provoking,
whatever it is, you leave it. I'm going to be pouring through these. And if we have enough, we are going to do the Leaf line tomorrow on the Leaf Hour.
I'm curious to know what percentage of them you'll find usable.
Listen.
If it's 10%, I love the idea that you have to listen to.
I've been screening, that's the core of my job. I've been screening calls on this station for 10 years.
Yeah, but not
I know
for
what
us.
This,
yeah, for, but like, bad shows.
Buddy, I know what makes
a good show.
I know what makes a good
call. This is the first
call.
Time you've been involved in a good show. Yeah. The rest of them have sucked.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I used to do a great job on Saturday mornings with Rob Wong.
Yeah, but
we
nobody knew about it.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
Nobody
the truckers did.
Okay.
The truckers did.
All right, all kidding aside,
yes.
I am trusting you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought for sure, like we'd all sit and go, that one, not. But he doesn't want that.
No.
He wants to pick it himself and then kind of surprise us like a brick over the head.
So, well, I mean, to be in fairness as well, when we started doing this show, I would cut the clips of Sheldon Keefe and we would sit there together. And I would try to keep your attention for 5 seconds to play the clips, Kipper.
We learned that is not an attainable feat.
I'm not going to sit there and try to get you to listen to these callers. I'm just going to pick them, and we're going to play them.
Kipper, did you like that clip?
What?
Clip? Kipper.
I'm sorry.
Anyways,
what's your name again?
We already have like 6 or 7 calls out there from my Twitter that I put out today. So maybe I'll do a little something on TikTok, too, because I'm just a TikTok influencer all of a sudden. And away we go. So there awesome. We go. It's the Leaf line. Leave us a voicemail on the Leaf line. And you, if you're not an idiot, you might get played. So there you go. Anyways.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Yes. Any other producing you need to do? You have a new shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Kipper and Bourne shirt.
Like that?
Yeah.
Thanks, Kippy.
Very nice.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, a little late on the Christmas present.
It's
but
all good. I'm good with it.
And I'll just validate that I'm wearing hacks. I was running around today. So that's a new style thing for me,
so
too.
So one, if we were doing this segment today, would someone say, what's with the lines today?
I think that would be
pairs.
Be like, oh my God, you know, what have they done now? So the new wrinkle is throwing OEL Myers, Riley Tanev, OEL Myers, Benoit Timmons. Got some fears about OEL Myers. Anyone else?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think those guys have, you know, outside of an injury game with McCabe, I bet those guys haven't played more than 2 minutes of hockey together.
It's a long pair.
Yeah.
Rangy.
So when you look at these new pairs, who is the first one that they're doing this for?
I know you're asking me because you think it's Riley.
I think it's Riley. As my first thought is, got to get Riley going, and why not put him with your best, most dependable 200-foot defenseman in Chris Tanev?
Yeah, and I don't disagree at all. It, you know, we've kind of been waiting for him to find it with someone and get his game going. I know, you know, he's scored a goal the other day, an OT winner, and he's commented that he thinks he's found his game a little bit.
He's jumping a lot more.
He is. And you think that's
by design. I don't mind it. Yeah. And I can live with the odd mistake every once in a while, especially if Tanev's there to kind of back you up. Mm-hmm. But he still needs to be a lot more assertive for me.
But this is why they got Tanev.
Yes.
They literally went out and got this guy for this spot.
When we heard that Chris Tanev was coming, it was like the first thought was, okay, now Morgan's got a defenseman.
And what's funny is I think a lot of us were like, Benoit, McCabe are also set. They're an awesome shutdown pair for them. And then it was, you know, OEL, Timmons, or whatever you ended up doing on the third pair was going to be all right. So it hasn't quite played out that way, but maybe these two with a few more games, they'll find it a little bit. We do have some coach comments on that.
So just as a warning on these clips, as you know, I love background noise on clips. They decided to have the coach's media availability in the lobby of a Broadway play. So there's a lot of people around. So if you can make out these, it's fine. Hey, but
isn't it better than, I think it was New Jersey, where there was a construction site they were doing in the middle of
held it in an airplane hangar.
It's more of a consistent hum as opposed to when the Leafs do it right below a rickety old fan in at the Scotiabank Arena. So anyways, let's get the clip from Berube on the D pairs changing up.
I think a lot of that is their lineup. They're pretty spread out in three lines, you know. So I think we need some balance with our D pairs tonight going against them. Yeah, they got some good skill in each line, you know, with size. You know, Nekas, Shvechnikov. Is that how you say it?
Shvechnikov. Yeah.
Close. Stahl, Aho. You know, like so. They got it spread out pretty good.
Is that you, Kipper? Are you coaching the team?
Svechnikov. Hey, he went full grapes.
If he was on his team, he'd know his name, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Oh, Bieska.
Yeah. Yeah, the best one with grapes was when he called Ponikarovsky Pocahontski. That was my fave. Anyways, yeah.
Hillbilly. I'm not going to live that one down.
But still. It is, you know, it's a tough lineup you're facing. That Carolina Hurricanes team is pretty loaded. So whatever adjustments you got to make, you got to make. We also have another one from him. Do you want to weigh in on that before we go back to Brubes?
No, go.
All right. We got clip three as well on the lineup changes. Let's do that one.
Just a little more speed tonight. You know, it's going to be a fast game. And, I want to, you know, like we talked about it before, where guys sit out, want to get him back in. Homer's been out for a bit. You know, he was sick, and then, you know, he's back now. But, I wanted to make that switch.
There you go.
Holmberg in, Robertson in, Reeves out, Pacioretty out.
Pacioretty.
What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are that it's not so much about his performance as we've had multiple quotes from Pacioretty this year where he's like, I didn't get out of bed on Sunday. The one time he said, talking about the physical wear, and another one where he talked about how much of a grind it is to play like this. And they're playing every other night right now. He is a veteran guy who's been injured. So I think it's just like it's a night for him to give someone a rest.
Yeah, I look at that lineup and I'm looking up and down their lineup there. And it's just a lot of speed and not a ton of guys that you necessarily need the Pacioretty's physicality or Reeves physicality. Like, you can kind of try to turn this into a track meet. They're not the most physical team, and I think that's been sort of a detriment to them over the years.
Yeah.
So I think you can go with a more speedy lineup as opposed to the one against the Flyers, which is supposed to be more physical. That's what I would look at it.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not surprised to everyone's conclusion on Pacioretty. I thought he was just awful against Philly.
Did you?
Yeah, well, just slow and tired and worn down. For all the reasons that you spoke of,
he's
just not effective. So, you know, kind of lends to make me a little concerned on if you're really, truly going to depend on him in April and May to maybe get to a conference final or a Stanley Cup final, if this guy's going to be able to kind of do the things that we've seen out of the gate early here in the season on getting up and down the ice and using his body, and what's going to be left of him in April if he's kind of running out of gas right now going into January.
But, you know, a few games ago, you'd have said he's playing pretty well, right? Yeah. And so I wonder if you can do this, even in playoffs. Say he's a guy who's not above coming out, you know, for a Holmberg here.
For sure, but like it's like if he's, can he go from being out of the lineup for game two into a top six in game three and be effective?
It would be a unique, I can't recall too many players doing that in and out in playoffs, still effective when they're back in. I'm sure people have some examples for us they can give us, but I can't call to mind any.
If you're sticking with Nylander and Tavares as your pairing on your second line, I thought that there's been many moments of brilliance over this season with Tavares, Nylander, and Pacioretty. So if that's a look that you want to go to in a game two or a game three, you know that that does work, maybe with a fresher Pacioretty. But I don't think there's a lot of examples of a guy coming into the top six.
But okay, you're going to think once you're getting in the first and second round, you're going to be facing some fast teams, right? So it's like, okay, Tavares and Pacioretty might look good on a November, December, January, but is it going to look fast enough for you in April?
And is Nylander going to have to be like, you know, like, come on, guys. Like, I'm two zones ahead already of most people, let alone you two. That is going to be unique. One thing I want to note about this Carolina Hurricanes team. So if you check Natural Stat Trick Corsi percentage, Corsi 4 percentage, which is just shot attempts percentage.
Yeah. They gotta get a new word so everybody stops hating.
I know,
because it's such a
normal thing. It's like who gets more shots.
Yes.
So the second best team in shot attempts percentage is the Florida Panthers. Third best is Edmonton. They're at 53% and 54%. First best is Carolina at almost 60%. Like, they're 5% better than the next best team. So they control just a massive number of shots. So even though, you know, they're not first in the NHL in goals or anything, they have the puck a ton and they shoot the puck a ton. So it's something tonight where it's like, I'm worried the Leafs are going to be on their heels a bit. I think Pacioretty not being in the lineup, maybe it's a good night for him to not be in.
The one thing that I think can hold a little bit of water for them tonight is, even if that does happen, like,
they're used to it.
Very seldom out of position. So someone, it may,
they win every game, get no
the
shot.
Puck may hit.
Were they 17
low
and 7?
Danger three shots
legs
galore
before it gets to Wall. And if it does get to Wall, he'll stop it. So even if that trend continues, I think the Leafs have shown an ability to frustrate teams even when the play's a little lopsided for me. It's like, is that a trend that will continue, or will it finally catch up to the Leafs? You know, that's the only thing that you got to ask maybe in the back half of the season. Some point,
it puts a lot of pressure on your goalie.
Puts a lot of pressure on,
you know, just no weak ones.
I mean, he's a real stalwart. He never gets hurt. So
he's
tons of pressure.
Proven commodity that he is.
Just 70 a year for him.
Makes you a little nervous.
Okay, so you mentioned Willie. We haven't really talked about Willie yesterday.
Oh, we've talked about him, just not on the air.
We haven't talked about him, well, yesterday. But the day before we did.
About today, we are.
Yes.
Okay, and What was your comment again on our broadcast?
Do you sometimes take some naps. Just a dozen game nap.
Dozen game nap. What are we at now? Seven or eight?
We're at eight.
We're at eight.
Yeah.
You got four to go here to hold, you know, true.
Well, he starts getting talked about around now, right? Oh, Willie's been not great for a little bit. The coach will call him out around game 10 or so. Mm. And then by 11 or 12, Willie gets 2-1. And he's like, oh, that's what it feels like again. And
you know, I started in this business working at City News 680. And I'd worked there for 2 or 3 years as an audio editor and as an editor. Did a bunch of stuff there.
You sound like a 50-year-old today for a young man.
And that's the glasses. It's the glasses. You know, you start to feel the beats when it comes to, like, covering the news. It's like, oh, it's the St. Patrick's Day parade again. Oh, it's just back to school again. It's like that with the Leafs. It's like, oh, Morgan Riley's struggling. He's the big whipping boy. Oh, you know, Marner needs a new contract. Oh, you know, we're going to give him – Nylander's got to get his whack. Here we go. Like, it's very cyclical. And we're at the point of the season now, the dog days, where Willie kind of needs it.
But I will say, Willie has been – it's been a unique year where out of the gates, Berube was like, I need better from you. He was playing him 17, 18 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Willie stood up to him in the media.
Absolutely responded to the criticism.
Yeah, but we also, like, had this Austin Powers, like, oh, it's a power struggle. You know, like, we had the moment, and, like, it felt like Willie won. And they were like, do whatever you want. And no one has said a negative word about him since, and he's been a dog for two weeks.
Do you want to go to Craig Berube on Willie?
Longer clip. Keefe-esque clip here from Berube.
And we'll pick up the conversation out of it.
Yeah, I talked to Willie today, and it's just more about, you know, I think sometimes skilled players scores, lose their confidence a little bit, and that's what I see right now with Willie, a little bit of a lack of confidence. And for me, it's talking to him about just working his way out of the situation, you know. Like, you know, you can't just relate to, well, I need a break, you know. Work your way out, get your breaks, work for your breaks, you know. That's the biggest thing for me, is just getting him back to work a little bit more and being more tenacious on pucks and puck battles and things like that. You know, when he was scoring he was scoring a lot, his puck battles were extremely high. And he's playing with more pace. He's just kind of not playing with the same pace right now.
Is he responsive?
Very responsive, yeah. And we always have good conversations, and, you know, it's been really good that way. So, you know, I think, you know, I had to do a little bit better job with him, too.
A better job on what?
Like, a bit better job coaching him, I guess. I had to do a bit better job with him, too, is what he said.
Did you cut the...
No, that was it.
Oh, that was it.
That was it.
Okay.
You know, I had to do a little bit better job with him, too.
Better job of him too.
Like, okay. I said, yeah, they're doing at the Met Gala.
See, he can do all of that, or you can bench him.
No, go to jail if you do that. Apparently, from the coaching staff here, you go to jail.
I know what'll work for sure. Give him the full 2 minutes on the power play.
Try giving him 3 minutes of the two somehow.
Keep doing that. That's really working.
Well, it wasn't lost in that maybe longest Craig Berube Kippers Clipper in history.
I think number one for sure.
Number one for sure. He mentioned, like, work and battle and work and work and work. And there's a lot of sense in what he said that he's not necessarily working hard enough to get out of this.
Yeah.
Just do your job.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, you know, it is a Willie thing. This is like the ultimate time where you would kind of expect it, right? Like, no, not a contract year. He's been through that. He's back. He had a good start. You know, it's mid-season. Like, this is a Willie time where you kind of got to give him the little cattle prod. And
I'm not a big believer that you've got to shut a guy down. Like, these are stars, and I know that there's a different.
You don't embarrass your guys.
You don't embarrass your guy. It's different, but you can miss a shift or two. I don't know if you have to do the whole kind of Kucherov shutdown for the third period or half a game, or Pastrnak, I think, got embarrassed a little bit by Montgomery earlier this year. Did he not?
Yeah, Draisaitl got benched for two shifts. Like,
but how'd the Pastrnak benching work out?
Well, that's
coach
just
gone.
Yeah, right? literally fired.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't think Berube needs to go down there. But, you know, even if he was to miss a shift or two, it's just
after
it's,
an obvious event, right?
After an obvious event, you can still get a message across. It gets noticed by the other players on the team, which is never a bad thing. Oh my God, if he benches Willie, what's he going to do to me if I turn the puck over like that? So that's usually how it has that ripple effect on your team.
Yeah.
But he is nothing wrong with that. He's just not at that place yet. Berube, and maybe that last comment where he just kind of left it hanging open, like, I got to do a better job. Maybe if this trend continues, that maybe that's an option for him.
The other question I have is, do you think that the pace of his line is having an effect on him? Like the fact that Pacioretty and Tavares are older, veteran, not fleet of foot guys. Now, when he was successful earlier in the year, was he with Matthews? Was that would that have been his center?
He played with a lot of kind of.
I just don't recall Matthews being in there long enough for anything to be.
He's played a lot with Tavares, but then he played with like Holmberg and Robertson for a while when they had.
Well, I know he went 8 or 9 games without having the same center for 2 straight games. Yeah. But like when Marner plays with Tavares for long periods of time, I don't think you think it's the best thing for Marner, right? Like that's not the ideal guy to help him.
I don't know how many games we saw this year of Tavares and Marner. Do we see?
Yeah, we saw it during the nine
that he was out, obviously early, and they put points up.
Yeah, no, they were right? Great. That was Mitch's highlight as a Leaf run. Yeah. I would say he was really really good.
So I mean, you mentioned that stuff with Nylander about needing to poke and prod, and I am less like. You know,
you
willing,
get Willie now.
I'm less willing to do it now. Like, I'm less willing to, like, deal with it.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, I mean.
See, I'm much more accepting of it.
Oh, I understand it.
Yeah.
But when you get paid, like, a top winger in the NHL, like, you know, oh, it's the dog days, all this. All this. It's like, that's what the $11.6 million is for, is to motivate you to, like, I understand it. You're making 6.9. It's like, I'm a little bit more willing to give him grace. But when you sign on the top dollar, like, he's been no good for quite a while here.
I think there's a sense, and it may come back to even what we witnessed with I want more ice time and then getting the 2 minutes, that there's a, I don't know, an agreement or just an overall kind of, this is the way we're going to handle Willie. It was almost as if it was pre-planned, and that when he did go through stretches, you weren't going to bench him. You weren't going to call him out in the media. You're just going to kind of work your way through it. To Justin's point, an acceptance of we got to work around the edges with this guy.
I mean, I wonder where Willie is talent-wise in the NHL. Like, top 10 talent? Like, is he?
I'd even go lower. What do you 7?
Mean? Yeah.
6?
Like, he, like at his best, his edges, his scary shot, his skating,
the,
he is...
The talent is scary.
It is. He might be this generation's Kovalev, where, I mean, you would know much better than I do, and I...
Yeah, he's got that it factor.
You know, and... Yeah, you...
And Kovalev's a perfect example. Sometimes you're like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? And
sometimes
you're in your own little world, and...
Right.
You know, are you playing left wing for us or right wing for them?
Oh, I almost got coffee with the nose. But,
so my point was, like, if he played to his potential, he's probably paid more like Draisaitl or like Marner's going to be, or, you know, more money. I think part of him getting 11.5 and not more is...
People are like... driving in a ditch right now going, 11.5?
Yeah.
And that's a deal for a guy that should be at...
If he's a top 7 skill guy and he's playing, getting paid like a top 40 guy, it's because sometimes he sleeps for a bit.
I think that's exactly right.
My argument sucks.
What?
You shouldn't get to be like, oh, he gets to not try because...
Yeah.
I'm not trying to justify it. I'm trying to explain it.
I got a doctorate in William Nylander, buddy.
Right.
I get it. I understand it, but I'm just less willing to accept it after the contract negotiations.
It's like,
and
okay, less
paying him at the peak
it.
Of his prime.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm not going to do
What's Craig Berube going to do? This.
Yeah, whack away.
Whack away.
That's it. That's all you got. You hope it works.
Just log him until he gets coached.
If it continues tonight or bleeds into the weekend. Craig can only go to the well so many times with that before he'll probably feel a little bit of the heat to say, find another way to get Willie going.
The beatings will continue until morale approves. But you remember Sidney Crosby?
What's that from?
It's like a corny work slogan, basically.
Oh, I thought it was a Simpsons thing. Anyway, continue.
But the, like, Sidney Crosby hadn't scored in 8 or 9 games, and they asked him about it. This is like 3 weeks ago, and they're like, yeah, you haven't scored. And he was like, well, the good news is every time it gets to a point where you guys bring it up to me, I start scoring again. And he scored that night.
That's
like, this is the Willie cycle. What's today? Today's Thursday the 9th.
Uh-huh.
They play on Saturday the 11th as well.
Yeah.
When we do our show on Monday.
Uh-huh.
He'll have scored at least twice.
I agree. Maybe two tonight.
Yeah.
You know,
I had him pegged for 2 empty netters against Philly the other night.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the way it works with this guy.
Yes, it does.
And no one will know the difference in April.
Yes. And we're going to go in here and go, oh, Willie, sure. You know, they
great year. Great year.
He's on track for anyway.
That's funny. Wall again tonight. Looks like.
Yeah, I think...
they're doing it. They're giving the Ilya Sorokin treatment every night,
he's
son.
Doing everything he's supposed to be doing, including...
Yeah. Passing a lot of tests here.
Going through a nice stretch here where you need great goaltending. You're waiting for Stolarz to get healthy.
Speaking of, do we have anything? Speaking of passing tests, has the body been removed from his knee?
No update.
Yeah.
With a pebble?
Yep.
I might have to text Luke Fox, ask Berube next practice.
Yeah, we need an update on that. I'd say we're due. We have a couple more clips to get to. Just one more on the top line.
Did we play the Hurricanes one?
Yes, because he said the name's wrong.
No, that was about switching up the D pair. We didn't actually play the one on the
Hurricanes. Yeah, let's get a little bit of input on the team he's facing tonight.
Yeah, they're always a tough opponent. They've been a real good team for a while now, and... you know, they've got some great players over there, but it's the, you know, their pressure they come with. They're a hard-working team. You know, they work as hard as any team in the league, and there's just no room. They don't give you much room. So, you know, you gotta win your battles, and, you know, there's a few things that we got to do to try to create some space out there tonight and be patient. I think composure and patience and discipline are going to be key tonight in this game.
So that's what you mentioned there, right? The composure, patience, because he's like, they're going to fill us in.
Well, and it felt like being on the other side of a Leafs game where he talked about, this is what teams used to say with Leafs. They've been a great team for a while now. You know, you got to win your battles against them. They're great. You know, all these sort of like cliches. And it's like, but we need to stay patient. It's like, God, that's how teams have been beating the Leafs. So they're the anti-Leafs this year.
I'm scared to say this because I said this about LA at the beginning of the season. This team's not as good as I thought they'd be.
Carolina.
Yeah. I'm looking at them and they're like, win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. I don't know if their window is kind of closed. They seem to me the last few years as a team that probably should have won or gone to a final.
Well, they won a couple, a round or two every year for
the
like
year
5 years.
Panthers, I know. Swept them. In the conference finals when Sam Bennett nailed. Was it Slavin?
Oh, that's
that was the year they got
hits
swept. Yeah, that was kind of their, felt like it was going to be their year, and it just didn't work out.
They just, I don't know.
They lost Pesci and Shea as a second pair last year.
They're missing something here. They just seem to be like.
It's a goalie. That's what they're missing. They're starting.
Would that be enough to me?
I'm not even sure if they got enough star power, and I like Sebastian Aho and Seth Jarvis. Sveshnikov's got like 13 goals and 29 points in 41 games. That's not a superstar.
And same
it's
with
not.
Sveshnikov.
Those aren't superstar numbers.
And Jarvis, 29 points. It's like Natchez has 47 points in 41 games. This is like a crazy career high, and I don't think he started on fire. I think he's cooled off significantly. Yes. So I think they recognize themselves as a team that's like, can you win by committee like the Canes of old, like the 06 Canes? Because they're not going to get dragged the same way a McKinnon has or a McDavid drags team to a final. I do think that they'll try to do something more aggressive, but.
The Aho, did you guys see the Hagel-Aho exchange?
Yeah, what was it again?
Where Hagel was yelling at him. and he just did like the stupid face.
He
crossed his eyes and Hagel just started laughing because he got him. So like, it's just, the face is so funny.
I'm writing an article for tomorrow on the NA, on players being friends. And it not being as competitive at times. And did you see the Kerfoot Tkachuk clip?
No, Kerfoot Bennett.
Yes.
Is it Kerfoot Bennett?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's Bennett, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
So lining up for a face-off,
yeah.
Kerfoot comes in there and says, love you, bud. And
as much as before now.
And yeah, when Bennett says, hold on, say that louder, say it into the mic or something. He says, I did. And so he wins a draw and he goes, don't love you as much as before or something like that. What happened to the game I love?
We should break.
Where would that history have come from?
I don't know.
Are you sure it's Bennett?
Bennett and Kerfoot?
I am almost 100% positive that it is that. I can relook at it, but I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
Anyways,
fine.
I was watching on my phone. So
beating the drum.
Utah and Florida last night.
Yeah.
And what did you kind of conclude? Because you know how I feel, obviously.
Yes. I concluded,
and this is based on
my conclusion in the article.
The Joel Farabee
Doer, this exchange.
Yeah.
My conclusion is that this all raises the value of villains.
It is neither Bennett or Tkachuk. It is Sam Reinhart.
Reinhart, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know what the history is there.
And Kerfoot.
It raises the value of villains. Because when I was in college and I was chit-chatting with guys on the ice and cutting deals, I remember trying to cut a deal with David Backes, and he punched me in the face so hard, and he did not want to be buddies, and it was not fun to be on the ice. And I didn't want to play as much against David Backes. I was just saying, it's really valuable to have these guys like last night, Miller and Tom Wilson going toe to toe.
Oh, I loved that game last night.
They right at each other.
Loved.
No deals cut.
Everything about the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, good game.
Last night in Washington was what you would love in a hockey game.
No love you, buds.
Right?
So Sam Reinhart.
Dubois goes right around and gets the best defenseman in the league.
We got a national hour to talk
about. No, I know. Okay, all right.
Sam Reinhart and Alex Kerfoot, both North Vancouver guys. I'm sure maybe they played minor hockey together or whatever.
But again, like,
there you go.
Like, we want to mic them, and they're thinking about ways to entertain us when just
the NHL is.
The players. The players are chatting online because they know they're mic'd.
Online.
Or they're chatting.
On the World Wide Web.
On
WWW.
On their wires.
On
their microphones.
Yes, yes.
But they're doing it because they know it's out there and it could go viral.
I don't know.
What is the purpose of that?
I don't think Kerfoot knows that at the time. I don't think he knows that.
No,
he
says I'm mic'd. Right?
Well, the other guy says it to him after he gives him the love you, bud.
All right.
But my other thought was that the NHL needs the PGA's player incentive money, and we need these guys to try to entertain a little bit.
Well,
but that's a separate conversation.
We should go.
Okay.
But they played, and just to finish off that conversation, Alex Kerfoot and Sam Reinhart played together on the 2010-2011 Vancouver Northwest Giants under 18.
Northwest Giants. How did we not know that?
See, it's always connect the dots in this world, folks.
Boom.
You'll figure a lot out. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, Aaron Ward, Stanley Cup champion.
Wardo!
Stanley Cup champion with the Carolina Hurricanes. He'll give us the goods on whether or not the Hurricanes still have a window to be good or not. Wardo, when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. So, Sammy, how many calls yet? Give people a reminder that we're doing a
Leafs line.
What is it called?
I called it the Leafs line.
Yes.
It's a voicemail.
So we can get Joe from Scarborough?
Yeah, Joe from Etobicoke, Tony and Maple, probably a couple of those. But I got to tell you, it's off the hook. But get to Wardo. He doesn't have that much time. So
let's get to our next
Wardo!
Caller. Aaron from Raleigh, you're on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Careful, careful. I do have a burner account that exists. It's out there, and it's clearly like a parody, but you might get me involved somewhere here.
Buddy, how are you, man? We haven't had you on for a while. It's great hearing from you. For those of you that watch our show, great seeing you. How are things going?
It's good. I think you guys are taking a bit of a risk, though, because this is my virgin foray into using FaceTime. So I'll just warn you that the people in Roland-Garros were doing a presentation with just statistics, and I moved my hands the wrong way, and they got balloons and hearts and fireworks coming across the picture.
So awesome.
I keep my hands down. Yeah, this could get interesting. I'm dealing with Boomer over here.
Awesome stuff. Well, tonight we're going to tee up the Carolina Hurricanes and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And just before going to commercial break, I talked about the expectations of the Carolina Hurricanes. And, you know, if the window's still open to maybe win a championship or be one of 7, 8, 10 teams that can legitimately win. From your view on the club overall, and maybe not the last 2 or 3 weeks where they've won one, lost one, won one, lost one, what have you seen out of this hockey club?
So full transparency, being a former player here and living here, I actually held out no hope. I thought the idea that they had lost so many guys, I thought, well, man, they're not going to be able to withstand the loss to Shea for what he brought to the table. I mean, Pesci, clearly that component, going out, getting Gensel, Kuznetsov on whatever level. And then Teravainen for the kind of the chemistry that he has with Aho, with making him feel comfortable and what they had going on. I just thought there's no chance. I gave them the benefit of the doubt, prognosticating, saying they would probably make wild card. So I will tell you that I'm surprised by what they've managed to do. Truth be told, this is Carolina, who is a heavily analytics-built team. Their mentality is this, that they can replace a player, maybe not as good, but like-minded and like-capable. So they have, you know, clearly brought some players in, and they've maintained a level of play that's exceeded what I thought. But when watching them and seeing how they played from the start of the season, I go back to what you just said a second ago. The consistency sometimes about against given competition, it's like they sometimes play down to some teams and then compete up against the better ones. So I don't know what that make is. They play the same style that you know Carolina has played for the same 3 years, 3-4 years. Of they make very few mistakes in their own end because they're you know up in the top 2 or 3 usually of lobbing the puck out of their own end. They don't give the puck away in that capacity. They generate their offense of puck retrieval, chances off puck retrieval. And it's the same team in terms of style, but some of the players have changed. And you can really see where Carolina is hurting right now. Their power play, even though they're sitting at 12, they were 2 last year. And that was one of the major help, major aids in generating offense. So I think that's where some of the questions come.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like the Leafs.
I don't think it's a lot like the Leafs. Actually, I got to tell you, I was talking to a friend of mine in Toronto, and he's like, well, what's your analysis of Leafs? I'm like, almost something completely different than I've been accustomed to. Usually the Leafs have like this chaotic story that you've got, like, oh, they got to address this. I almost feel like there's been small components that we've talked about, but there's never really been a major overarching problem. Like, okay, yeah, Matthew's injury, that could be a major one. But I feel like there's a even keelness, if that's such a word, to the Toronto Maple Leafs that's not normal for them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary for the rest of the teams around. Like, they've got some pieces in that I think, like, I'm a huge closet Matthew Nyes fan. He's almost an old school throwback kind of player that I feel like Scotty Bowman would have loved him, like that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they've solved some issues and bring in some presence. But like I said, for me, Carolina, it's still a question mark.
Yeah. So where do you stand in general team building? As the Leafs are different in that they are run, you know, they are elite talent, and they've been trying to fill in around that elite talent for years. Carolina is kind of like the collective. You have experience winning a Stanley Cup on a team that I think most would say was a collective and not a star-driven team. Can that still work today?
So Roddy coaching and not being in a locker room, I always heed to the idea that you never know the truth unless you're sitting in that locker room, hearing what's being said and feeling philosophically and psychologically where the team is at. How he coaches, though, I think the team takes on that identity, right? So we had the story about Natchez looking at going elsewhere last year, and that was a dominating storyline here in Carolina. But I think what Natchez was evaluating was, okay, if the system for me is not typically ideal for a skill set guy. I can probably operate within this system, but where do I fall on the pecking order? I think that's where they've struggled. So the idea of how he disperses his team is almost like that playoff mentality of having equal parts. I'll give you an example. The LA Kings 2 or 3 years ago, if you looked at them top to bottom, line 1 through 4, they were highly successful during that run because they were able to disperse evenly the statistical output. I think this is the same philosophy with Carolina. When you have Jarvis up top with Aho and Roslovic, and then you look down and you're like, okay, well, Natchez is sitting on the second line, and then there's another panic, like Svechnikov is sitting on the third line, what are they doing? I think it applies to this, to the style and the system that Roddy has these guys playing, that's effective and guys have bought in.
So here we got an owner in Tom Dundon who took over, I think, sole possession of this hockey club maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And not that I know his history of his business history, but the perception is out there that he would find undervalued businesses and build them up. And, you know, maybe he brought that philosophy into the hockey club a little bit. And I'm not saying it can't be done because you can money ball maybe to a certain extent, but then once those assets get a little bigger, it's hard to keep them, i.e. Brett Pesce. So where is he today? My understanding is Jake Guentzel wanted to be in Carolina, wanted to be a Hurricane. He wanted him there. He just did not offer him enough money when he needed to. You think he's learned a little bit here moving forward? Or, oh, you're shaking your head. No.
I think they maintain a very static and consistent philosophy here in Carolina that you have. So I'll give you an example of this. We have an alumni game coming up here for the Eric Staal jersey retirement. And we joke amongst alumni that 2019 on, the majority of the fan base here has changed. They identify with the Ahos. They identify with the Svechnikovs. And so as long as you have those components there where there's like a fan-based loyalty to it, knowing what I said earlier when we started this, they're a heavily data analytics-driven team. And that includes not just how you approach the game, but the players and the lineup you present or how you deconstruct or construct your lineup. Tulski here, although he doesn't say much of anything ever to anybody or give an indication of how things work, by the process of deduction, working for Dundon, he's very good at economizing players, evaluating what he thinks a guy is going to get. Can you hold on to him? Are you better to get more picks for that guy for the long term? So I think they really take a long-term 60,000-foot view approach rather than finding any loyalty to a given piece or component or player in this team. So yes, you're correct. Their philosophy is once you price yourself out of here, and this is an outsider's observer, or part of the Tuesday alumni club conversation in the locker room as we evaluate this team. Once you price yourself out of where we think you should land, then you're expendable. And that's just factual for 90% of this team. And that's the way they work this team. So he's smart about how he runs his money. They evaluate players top to bottom on how they can fit into a lineup, not just what they can bring to a lineup, but will they complement other players? Can they possibly play within the system that Roddy has set down? And going back to the answering the question you said about how Tom runs his organization, the fact that how he started it here was offering the first coach $300,000 to prove themselves as a head coach in the National Hockey League tells you that there's the standard set and it will be consistent going forward.
So I know you have to go here shortly, so just need to get a quick goaltending question in for Carolyn.
I'm good till 4:55.
Okay.
Oh, okay, okay.
Perfect.
Yeah, so quick goaltending question then for Carolina. Are they just going to go status quo and hope someone plays well?
Dude, I honestly, I don't work for the organization. I watch them a ton because I live here.
Yeah.
I watch Montreal a ton. I watch every other, like 30 other teams, equal parts. My biggest head scratcher is at what point, we're going back to Mrazek. Like, when are we going to just come up with something that's going to answer the question in net? And that's ironic that I'm sitting here on a Toronto radio station talking about this. But when do we answer the question in net? Like, you got guys that don't perform in the playoffs. You guys are consistently injured. Like, this is a team that, as we say, your last question was you're economizing. You're trying to bring the best out of players. I don't think goaltending position is a place you play with that. Like, right. You got to find your horse. And we've been dealing with ponies here for a little while. Like, they want someone to step up, but they haven't graduated that level of owning the net and having it. Kochetkov is entertaining, and I think he's fully capable, but he's young. And, like, as you see the process of what Montembeau did in Montreal, he's ascending in terms of maturity, skill, and composure and owning his net. I think that process still exists for him, and his ceiling's high, but he's not quite there yet. And, again, as you talk about, like, the window, how long is your window open with this core composition of guys?
How about Brent Burns? Get him to play net. He seems to be doing everything else for this.
Wonder.
Unbelievable.
So we have guys, I think, that play in our alumni game that are younger than him. how we get our information is there's usually the injury skate at the practice rink and the alumni go on after where you just show up early. And I mean, your cohort, Justin Williams, sometimes out there working out Jarvis when he was injured. We meet some of the guys, get some of the inside information. But Burns is a machine. And when's it going to end? We were joking the other day about some guys coming out and debuting again in their 40s in the Spanish league.
Spanish league.
I mean, we're looking at other ways to play pro hockey. But, Burns seems to be just, there's no downturn in his performance. And what he means to this team, I think, is more invaluable to the team than anything. Like, how he deals with the young guys, how he teaches guys to deal with adversarial situations. It doesn't only fall on Roddy to guide the team. He's an extension of Roddy.
So the participating alumni at your game that you guys are going to have, Ray Whitney, Rod Brindabour, Cam Ward, Justin Williams, Mike Commodore, Chad LaRose, Tim Gleason, Eric Cole, Sean Hill, Patrick Eves, Derek Stepan. How are the boys? How's it going with your alum?
Let me tell you something. So how this came about was we played the UNC, University of North Carolina, Acha D1 team in August. Steve Rice is the head coach of them, and we did it for a charity game. Packed the barn, kicked the snot out of them.
Really?
Oh, my God. So here's
the D1 team?
They talked crap, too. They were like, oh, young legs, we're going to make them. Here's the thing. If you're chasing the puck the entire time and you don't know how to play systems, we will outsmart you. We will hockey IQ you to death. So it was competitive for the first period. It was like, 3-1. And then I think it ended up 9-2. And guys were like, we were like doing the old Messi to, whoever, like the triangle passing and then popping it. And we didn't have Justin Williams. We didn't have some of these guys. So now our group is pretty good. The NC State team is pretty good. We are lodging a labor complaint for the D though. If you look at that, five defensemen. So Cam Ward's coming out and playing as a player for the second and third period. Dude, you should see him. He's the Adam Oates of the alumni game.
He's a magician or what?
Dude crushes it. He's like always under control. Composure's there, dishes off. But he front loads his team, though. He sits in like politics in the locker room for everybody to wear a dark jersey. So the NHL guys all are on his team, and some of the guys that played like college hockey or junior end up on ours.
There's a Seinfeld episode where Kramer he walks into Jerry's apartment with his golf clubs and throws them down.
Yeah.
And goes, I stink. And that's me now every Thursday morning. How's your game?
Our game's good. We actually started it for mental health reasons.
No, how are you?
Your game. Game.
Never changed. I didn't go faster. And guess what? There's still glass on every arena, so I can get off the glass and pretty easy.
Wardo, welcome back, man. It's good to have you back on the show. Thanks for doing this.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Wardo.
Aaron Ward, Stanley Cup champion, multiple Stanley Cup champion.
That's great.
He's awesome. He's really good.
I'm really not surprised that the former NHLers worked the D1 team.
I am.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think that would happen. I don't know what UNC is all about, but.
For those of you that saw him on Zoom, the guy looks like he could still play.
He looks very fit.
But, I mean, you saw that club team beat the defending champions in the preseason. Like, a UNLV's club team beat Denver in the preseason 7-6 in a shootout. Like, I don't know, they're NHLers. Like, it's like Eric Stahl's in the list. Like, you know, you could beat them.
Well, sure. I think it depends on the age of the alumni group, and this is obviously a younger one.
Anyways, that was a great chat.
Okay, we're just getting started. Our thanks to Aaron Ward for joining us. Stick around. Ray Ferraro, ESPN hockey analyst, former teammate of mine in New York, all briefly and all, but love having Ray on. You're not going to want to miss that. We're going to pick up a very hot discussion on the Vancouver Canucks, plus much more. So do not go away on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.